540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic state lawmakers say they want the Brewers to double their money for upkeep at American Family Field. A new Republican bill would have the Brewers pitch in $100 million. Democrats want to raise that to $200 million. State and local taxpayers would bring the total fund to $700 million. A group of bipartisan lawmakers is trying to revive the idea of ranked choice voting in Wisconsin. Here's Nate Wegehout.
Under the bill, U.S. House and Senate candidates would compete in a single statewide primary regardless of political party. The top five candidates would then advance to the general election, where voters would rank them in order of preference. Three Democrats and two Republicans are proposing the bill. They say it will make lawmakers more accountable to a wider range of voters. A nearly identical bill was introduced in 2021. That bill died in committee. Ranked choice voting is already in place in Maine and Alaska. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Researchers say they've come up with some tactics to help mitigate misinformation online. Eric Tegedoff has more.
Jevin West is a co-founder of the Center for an Informed Public. He's also the co-creator of a digital literacy course, aptly named Calling BS. West says one strategy for fighting misinformation is something he puts on a sticker for his students. Think more, share less.
Just a very simple little statement, which is think more, so sort of take a little bit more time to source things before you share it, and then just share less. So think more, share less.
Another method for lessening the impact of misinformation is inoculation. That is, helping people on social media better recognize false information when they see it. I'm Eric Tegedoff.
A package of bills in Congress would increase access to Medicaid to up to a month before people leave jail or prison. The Reverend Sarah LaWall says people in prison are among the most marginalized in society.
If we really believe in rehabilitation and redemption, then we have to be able to give incarcerated people the tools and the resources they need to be as successful as possible when they reenter our community.
A study in the New England Journal of Medicine finds people who just finished their prison sentences are several times more likely to die from a drug overdose than the general population. Bald eagles are making a comeback in Wisconsin after last year's bird flu outbreak. Madison Audubon is out with its final eagle data for the year. 89% of eagles' nests produce at least one fledgling this year. Wildlife biologist Summer Madison tells the Journal Sentinel it's a sign that eagles are developing immunity to the strain. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Milwaukee County may take official action, including the possibility of a lawsuit regarding the noise issues at the Rock Sports Complex in Franklin. A county representative from Franklin says she's been receiving noise-related complaints for several years. A formal resolution is being considered, emphasizing the importance of peace and quiet in the neighborhoods around the Rock. Waukesha County Technical College has opened up their 1,800-square-foot eSports lab. It offers students access to 18 fully equipped gaming stations, and the hope is to draw in new students. The college plans to join the National Association of Collegiate eSports in the spring, allowing students to compete nationwide in NCAA-style tournaments with scholarship opportunities for winners. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Packers' David Bakhtiari speaks out. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. There were rumors that left tackle David Bakhtiari declined to play in Atlanta on Sunday because the game was on turf. I asked Bakhtiari if that story was true.
I've never leave him hang out to dry. Like, I signed up to play. I'm planning on playing, and when I can play, I'm going to play. So clearly, if I'm not playing, there's something going on, and it's been it's been weighing on me a lot.
Green Bay is getting ready to host the Saints on Sunday at noon. Yesterday in Chicago, there were reports that the FBI had raided the Bears' front offices at Hallis Hall the day after Alan Williams had resigned as the team's defensive coordinator. The NFL Network says the FBI story was not true. Meanwhile, Bears quarterback Justin Fields says learning a new offense has been complicated.
Of course, you know, things that I didn't like, I felt like, you know, I wasn't necessarily playing my game. Felt like I was kind of robotic and not playing like myself.
What do you think was causing you to think so much, maybe?
Coaching.
Fields would later claim that he was taken out of context. College football, the Badgers take on the struggling Purdue Boilermakers. Tomorrow night, kickoff at 6 o'clock. Head coach Luke Fickell on what's missing in the Badgers running game.
There's things that take a toll, and whether it's maybe it was the first half, maybe it was us trying to but not establishing, you know, the ability to run the football well enough to create some energy, but maybe those body blows made a difference.
Baseball, the Brewers with a convincing 8-2 win over the Cardinals. Tyrone Taylor had a big night at the plate. Jeff Levering, Bally Sports Wisconsin, with the call.
High fly ball, deep left field. Palacios back at the track. Wall gone! Tyrone Taylor, a two-home run night. And a big insurance run for the Brewers. It's 5-2 crew.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
Just continuing to put the ball in the air and do damage with it. So he's bottom of the lineup. That kind of production has changed our offense for sure.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin.
Good morning, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. A day closer to what?
To Friday.
Yeah, man. It's going to be 80 degrees today and tomorrow, man. You better get out and enjoy it while you got a chance. I want to talk about a lot of things this morning. Calvin, you know, artificial intelligence, man, your thoughts?
It's interesting, and I'm intrigued by some possibilities, but I think it's something that we need to be careful with, and it definitely has drawbacks and dangers.
So artificial intelligence, if you are not aware of it, you want to explain what it is, Calvin?
Well, it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like. It's a computer simulated intelligence. In its current iteration, it's pretty much just sorts and replicates data, but so I guess in the present day, the concerns are that it either steals work or presents misinformation. And I guess future concerns is that it could develop into a form of sentience that could danger us in some way.
So, you know, back when I was a lot younger, they had movies that they made with artificial intelligence, right?
Yep.
And it took over things. And there's no question that artificial intelligence, amen, sometimes is more intelligent than the people, right?
I'm not sure that we've quite gotten there yet. It can definitely process more data than a person can. The fear is definitely that someday it would be able to overtake us, though, I guess.
Well, so, I mean, you know, there's some really intelligent human beings, no question, because somebody had to develop artificial intelligence, right? So I'm not questioning whether or not, you know, it will be brighter than human beings, some human beings. But it's certainly brighter than most human beings. It's safe to say that, right?
Yeah, I could say that.
Okay, so here's an editorial, man, that was written by artificial intelligence. And it was written to argue whether or not it's a bad idea to have artificial intelligence involved in journalism. So what they did was ask artificial intelligence to create, you know, reason why artificial intelligence should not be involved in journalism. And I got to tell you, you know, it's pretty good. Artificial intelligence is...
Yeah, it's well written.
Yeah, man, listen to this. So, artificial intelligence, the Post-Dispatch editorial board was curious how Microsoft's Bing Chat artificial intelligence program would handle the command to write a newspaper editorial arguing that artificial intelligence should not be used in journalism. And so we found that Bing Chat made lucid and persuasive arguments for keeping artificial intelligence out of journalism. It's an ironic and disturbing success to the experiment, but one that we hope will generate discussion among our fellow humans. That's written by the artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is a powerful technology that can perform various tasks such as data analysis, image recognition, natural language processing, and more. Artificial intelligence has been used in many fields such as medicine, education, entertainment, and even journalism. However, while artificial intelligence may have some benefits, it also poses serious threats to the quality, integrity, and ethics of journalism. I thought humans posed that threat. Come on, man. In the editorial, I will argue that artificial intelligence, again, this is artificial intelligence writing this, should not be used in journalism, and that human journalists should remain the primary source of news and information. One of the main reasons why artificial intelligence should not be used in journalism is that it can undermine the credibility and trustworthiness of news. Let's see. Are you telling me that humans right now, today, journalists today, are trustworthy? All journalists are trustworthy in the news that they put out? Artificial intelligence can generate fake news. Hey, come on, man. Manipulate facts. Hey, come on, man. And spread misinformation. Oh. So human beings don't do that?
Yeah, it's kind of funny to think that that's all things that we've been dealing with for the past 8 years. It's a little, I guess, I don't know. I guess the purpose is, the idea is that when humans are doing it, we can try to figure out a purpose. But when the AI is doing it, it's just formulating data it finds. There's not really a rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, but AI is saying, you know, we shouldn't be used in this capacity because we basically can't be trusted. We can't, you know, do the things emotionally that human beings can. But at the same time, human beings are doing these things that are horrible, that are causing damage, and not being truthful and ethical. The very things that artificial intelligence says it can't, doesn't have the capacity to do. Humans have the capacity to do it, yet in many instances, they're not using that properly.
Yeah, I guess if it's a person, there's someone you can blame. If it's an AI, I guess, who's at fault? The person who put it to use, I guess. And then it's kind of at the same point as the person just saying it themselves.
You know, a lot of people, journalism is not only about reporting facts, but also about providing context, analysis, interpretation, and commentary. Journalism is also about holding power accountable, exposing corruption, and advocating for social justice. Artificial intelligence cannot perform these functions. Again, this is written by artificial intelligence because it lacks human judgment, empathy, and ethics. Artificial intelligence cannot understand the nuances, implications, and consequences of the stories it produces. Now, if humans were doing this on a regular basis, the very things that artificial intelligence says it's not capable of doing, we wouldn't be in the condition we are in now. Because we don't have enough journalists who are willing to do those things. We don't. We have journalists just like politricksters who are bought and paid for. And it's shameful. I'm not saying that that has always been the case, but it really has kind of helped erode, the beliefs that we've carried in journalism. I go back to a time, man, when there was a guy named Walter Cronkite, maybe even before your parents, and there was only a handful of news outlets. And so Walter Cronkite would be on the news at 6 o'clock, and the world would basically stop. And people would listen to this trusted man, who we knew we could trust, who we knew would not fudge things. And we only had a handful of channels. So we knew we could trust that journalist. But today, a completely different story. Artificial intelligence can't distinguish between right and wrong or between truth and falsehood. People can, yet they don't. I mean, we see it every day. Artificial intelligence cannot respect the rights and dignity of the sources and subjects of its stories. Artificial intelligence cannot adhere to the codes of conduct and standards of professionalism that human journalists follow. Man, I mean, this really is an eye-opening article written by artificial intelligence that certainly makes me pause and say, journalism is in trouble. Journalists are in trouble. Right? I mean, come on. When things are about the bottom line and you're going to have a person sitting there and writing the stories that they write and getting paid what they get paid with benefits, and you can have this, how close is that, Calvin?
Yeah, when truth doesn't matter and just content and volume is all that you care about, the AI is the perfect solution. They can put out 1,000 times more than what a person could do.
No question. Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. What do you say? We'll be right back.
Did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies today with highs around 79. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 61. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High of 77. Mainly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers Saturday and Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Hite. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Talking about this article from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that was written by artificial intelligence that explains why artificial intelligence should not be or should not replace journalists. Now, next week, I'm going to have my good friend, award-winning Milwaukee Journal writer, Journal Sentinel writer James Causey, who is a Pulitzer Prize winner as well as an Emmy Award winner. He'll be joining me in studio, and I'm going to love to have this dialogue and conversation with him. Artificial intelligence. Human journalists are not only information providers, but also storytellers, educators, watchdogs, and influencers. Human journalists have a voice, a perspective, and a purpose. Human journalists have a passion, a curiosity, a creativity. Artificial intelligence can't replace these qualities. What they can do, and this is me adding this, they can threaten the livelihood of journalists, no question whatsoever. When the bottom line is about dollars and cents, you best believe that artificial intelligence is going to win out. And, you know, I'm not so unsure that at some point in time, you know, artificial intelligence is going to be replacing those of us on radio. You know... I mean, clearly, artificial intelligence is nothing to sneeze at. It is the future. And so we're not, you're not going to be able to dismiss it because it can do so many different things well. Will it ever replace human beings totally in some capacity? No, it won't. But there's a reason why there's so many people terrified that that artificial intelligence, as fast as it's moving, Calvin, is going to wind up replacing many people in many jobs. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. What's going on, man?
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. I don't need artificial intelligence to tell me that journalism is extinct. Darn near extinct. We can watch it. We've seen it. We've felt it. Journalism, or lack thereof, has done it to themselves. We see it every day. And you've actually had award-winning journalists on who, I would say, put more of their own feelings and interpretations into it. And well, that's not journalism.
Well, you're talking about my friend Joe McNally. And, you know, you can point out, one person, and people can say the same thing about all the people on Fox News or all the people on Newsmax, right? I mean, you can point out and say, well, these are Democrats. It's the same thing, man. You know, maybe you don't watch Fox News. Maybe you don't watch, you know, what's going on, with Sean Hannity and all those other folks. But I do, and they're doing exactly the things that the artificial intelligence claims that that it can't do, but people can do.
Here's something, Earl. I don't consider Sean Hannity a journalist. I don't consider Rachel Maddow a journalist. Brett Baer is a journalist. Brett Baer on Special Report just had Mohammed bin Salman from Saudi Arabia, the president of Saudi Arabia, and Brett Baer's a journalist. You can't tell which political view he proposes. He's a journalist. That's what it's all about.
So let me ask you. Let me ask you, CJ. You know, I look at the National Review, and those are journalists. And I read what the National Review journalists write. And where you point out Joe McNally, I can say the exact same thing about people on Red State that I also read, the National Review, and all of those different things. So there are plenty of journalists still around. You say that they're killing themselves. I would challenge that because there are many places you can go and get information that's written by journalists. So they're still there. And the fact that you want to point out one side of it is, it's par for the course. I expect you to do that. But the truth of the matter is, it's journalism in its purest form has changed. As I stated earlier, Walter Cronkite was a person, a journalist, that you could trust. And certainly many of them today, bought and paid for.
My mic on?
Yeah, your mic is always
on. I didn't point out just one side.
You said Joe McNally.
Not a journalist.
You said what?
I never mentioned his name, Earl.
I know who you're talking about. I know because that's that's who you're talking about. Listen, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Mary, hang on. We'll be right back.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Southern border towns are stretched to the max. Correspondent Manuel Bajorquez has more from El Paso.
Near Eagle Pass, Texas this week, more than 5,000 people streamed through in a day. The influx prompted the mayor to sign an emergency declaration.
Ukraine's President Zelensky meets with President Biden, then members of Congress who are voting on a huge aid package. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
I want to make sure there's accountability where the resources are going. I want to see a plan of what we're looking for victory. And I think members will sit and have their questions as well.
Nine Tennessee deputies indicted for allegedly killing a black man in jail last year. Video shows them beating him. Shelby County Sheriff Floyd Bonner claims the man died of pre-existing conditions.
Let me be clear. No action, no actions by any Shelby County Sheriff's Office employee caused Mr. Freeman's death.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Generac is set to get a $4.5 million grant and almost $2 million worth of property from Beaver Dam. They are incentives to build a 320-square-foot plant in Dodge County. Generac plans to start construction later this year and aims to complete the project by early 2025. A committee in Milwaukee County is advocating for the return of in-person visits to the county jail. James Kelly has more.
A committee in Milwaukee County is advocating for the return of in-person visits to the county jail. The Finance Committee has unanimously approved a $150,000 study to assess the possibility of reintroducing in-person visitation, which hasn't been permitted at the Milwaukee County Jail for over 20 years. The Board of Supervisors is set to vote on this recommendation today.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
What?
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I just got, you know, last half an hour talking about artificial intelligence. Your thoughts. Let's go to Mary. Hey, Mary, how you doing?
Well, I'm Kelvin, and thanks for bringing this current topic of interest to us. I don't have an opinion on journalism and AI, but I would guess that it is front and center on the agenda of a lot of employers. Now, I have an interest in a significant concern about climate crisis, and so I had an opportunity to pose a question to AI, and I'd just like to briefly read AI's immediate response to me. AI said, the issue of climate change is a complex one. It is difficult to predict when global powers will unite to significantly remediate the effects of climate change. However, there are many initiatives and actions being taken by countries and organizations around the world to address this issue. In addition, many countries have set their own targets for reducing greenhouse gases, and then it gave examples of what the U.S. is doing, China is doing, the European is doing. And it says it's important to note that addressing climate change requires a collective effort from all countries and individuals. While global powers may play a significant role in addressing this issue, it's also important for individuals to take action in their own lives to reduce their carbon footprint. It ends very nicely saying, I hope this helps you answer your question.
You know, Mary, artificial intelligence is not shaded by politics. And so what you're going to get is a straight answer. That's a straight answer. And so it is not challenged or forced to kowtow to any political persuasion. And, you know, Mary, that's good in this society, right? I mean, we need to have straight answers that aren't jaded by, you know, politics. And that, in that instance, artificial intelligence is not moved by whether or not Republicans are in charge or Democrats are in charge. It gave a straight answer.
And hopefully we can use it in positive ways to solve, you know, human problems here on the planet.
I agree with you. I think there's no question. And very creative of you to ask that question and for us to get that answer. Thank you very much for the call, as always, my friend. It's good talking to you. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Earl, I love your show. I love talking to you.
Well, thank you.
Because, you know, you open it up to people like me and CJ, which is, you know, well, CJ, he's a good guy. I like listening to him. I wish CJ would kind of tone it down a little bit, be more respectful and stuff like that, because you can't be mad all the time. And he sounds like he's mad. I think TJ is one of the smartest people I've ever heard on the radio. Not disrespecting you or anything.
Let me ask you: Do you have any thoughts about the artificial intelligence?
Well, yeah. I mean, who's programming this? I mean, when you say the artificial intelligence, right, but somebody has to program. I mean, they have to teach them how to do, like, surgery or any of that stuff. Somebody has to teach them. So it all depends who's teaching the computers to figure it out. And I understand that diagnosing diseases through artificial intelligence is going to be great. And artificial intelligence can be great, but it's, you know, do you ever see the movie 2000?
One, Space Odyssey.
2001.
Yeah, Space Odyssey.
Space Odyssey. Okay. Do you remember HAL the computer? I think it was HAL the computer. This was artificial intelligence when this movie was made back in the 60s. You know, so I have a sit back and wait as far as this artificial intelligence. But you got to remember, somebody's got to teach them so they can, you know, like I say, the doctors will teach them, and then they'll be able to help diagnose things way better than the doctors.
So,
as far as politics, go ahead.
So, Gary, we can sit back and wait, but the world's not waiting for us to sit back and wait. The world is moving swiftly, and artificial intelligence is advanced farther than you and I can ever imagine, because the military always gets all of these things first. The artificial intelligence that we're getting, Calvin, is, you know, it's long since evolved. Is it safe to say that?
It's hard to know because obviously you can't know what you don't know.
Well, I know this. I know that most of the information that we get, the technological advances that we get, come from the military. They're there first. And so you, if you think about it, they've got lasers in space, and those lasers, you know, we don't know what they have on the space station, but I can, you can rest assured it's much further advanced than what we're dealing with here on Earth. So Gary, your point is that you still need, no matter what artificial intelligence is, it still needs human beings to program it.
Well, obviously, how are they going to do it then? Like, no, I say, as far as the medical thing, the doctors have to program it, and then they'll figure out what the disease is when the doctors won't have to go get a second opinion. You don't need that anymore. They'll figure it out. But as far as, you know, figuring out other stuff, it all depends who's programming it and it's how it's going to be cited. If you program something, like if it's the computer is programmed through the Democrats and not anything from an independent or a Republican, it's going to side one way exactly. You have to have it programmed both ways.
I don't think artificial intelligence can denote what's a Democrat or a Republican. Do you, Kevin?
I'm actually going to agree with Gary a little bit on here. Our current iteration of AI is, it just gathers and then sorts information. So you could theoretically influence what the AI is going to say to make it have a political bent based on the information you provide it and the questions you ask it.
I'll say this. Artificial intelligence is here to stay. Artificial intelligence is only going to get better. And artificial intelligence is going to be replacing human beings. I remember when I worked at A.L. Smith for 34 years, I saw technology come in. And where on a production line, there might have been 200 men working on this one production line. They brought in the first iteration of robots. And that 200 men on that assembly line went down to 50. The robot replaced 150 men in one fell swoop. And because what it was able to do was the robots didn't get vacations, didn't get personal days, didn't get sick pay, didn't get holiday pay. As long as the continued development of technology is moving forward, artificial intelligence is going to remain right at the precipice of replacing people. No question. Thank you very much for the call, Gary. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. How you doing?
Fine. So, Earl, just keep up the job you're doing. I like Gary's comments and CJ's. I just like it when you bring in all different ideas, just not one side. But on AI, I've actually invested in that. NVIDIA is one of the leaders in AI. We already have half of AI in our pockets with our smartphones. If you can tell me something that phone can't answer, like how can I fix my Maytag dryer? How do I disconnect YouTube and whatever? We have half of it already. There's always a certain amount of fear and concern with progress, but I look at it this way. If it improves us as a culture and a people and a world, you know, amen, let's do it. There's a lot of concern of people. Well, people are going to lose their jobs. There'll be other jobs created. Don't forget, you could go to AI, or you might go even right now to your cell phone and say, what is the most lucrative great job in America that, you know, you can get yourself into. America won't just be sitting around on their hands looking for things to do. Now, I think it will, in some ways, this might sound abstract, create jobs. What do you think, girl?
Well, you know, Bill, we can't look at it from the perspective of America. It's global. The impact of artificial intelligence is global. And so the change is not solely within America. It is mankind. And so that's the issue. I don't fear it. You know, you and I, Bill, its impact, is measurable that we can see, but you know, 20 years from now, can you even envision what this is going to look like? Right? We've seen these major. I know every time I pick up this phone, you know, man, I had some swelling in my toe, and I didn't know what it was. Right? I had some pain in my toe, and I was debating whether or not I should go to the doctor, right? And to the podiatrist. And then my wife went on the phone. And the phone said, well, what you have is an ingrown toenail. And here's what you do to alleviate that. I didn't have to go to the doctor. The answer was right there. Now, you know, certainly, I could have gone to a doctor and got that, but look, I would have had to have waited to set the appointment. It would have cost me money. Artificial intelligence is here to stay, Bill. It's not going anywhere.
And I think it's gonna create a whole new world that's gonna be exciting.
It already is.
It'll be less than that.
I said it already is creating a whole new world.
We'll see the impact shortly, but the impacts, I think, should be exciting. And Gary from, I didn't hear the last part of Gary's, I had to get out of the truck for a minute, but I heard Gary say something about, well, who puts the impact or who builds it?
Right.
Well, the people who build it are doing nothing more than giving different possibilities, different concepts to feed that into that, so it looks at everything. I think artificial intelligence will stay just that. It won't be a political based or environment based. It'll just be, here's your objective. Here's what we know. Here's what we can do. That. So it won't be one side or the other. I just don't see it. So anyhow, good topic, Earl. I hope you get an academy.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
As a roofer, I've got a million things to do, and that's a million things that need to be done right. That's why I partner with Beacon. The team at Beacon makes sure my materials are delivered accurately and on time. And the Beacon Pro Plus app makes ordering the brands I depend on, like CertainTeed Landmark Pro, easier than ever. I rely on Beacon because I never stop building, and neither do they. Now through November, purchase CertainTeed through Beacon Pro Plus and earn up to $750. Beacon. Always building.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 79. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms tonight. Lows dip down to about 61. Cloudy skies expected. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers, 77. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. The things that I just don't understand, I just don't get. You know, Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott is a candidate for the nomination, Republican nomination, for the presidency of the United States. And he is being pillared right now by many conservatives. And Calvin, do you know why they're after him?
Why is that?
Because he doesn't have a wife. Now, I don't understand where that matters, but it apparently matters to some. There are many interesting and unique things about Senator Tim Scott, Republican presidential campaign. He's a temperamental moderate with a very conservative record, a statesman-like politician in a Republican Party where that's increasingly out of fashion, and the only black candidate who qualified for the first debate. But rather than focus on any of that, some donors, voters, writers, and social media commentators have instead focused on what should be an irrelevant detail of Scott's biography. The 57-year-old is unmarried. This issue has attracted so much attention that the senator finally sat down with the Washington Post for an interview to specifically address the subject, and announced to the world that he does, in fact, have a girlfriend. It's genuinely insane that this has become a thing at all, let alone to the point where other Republican candidates have reportedly been shopping opposition research to reporters that focus on Scott's lack of a partner. Now, should it matter? I mean, you know, you want to know the business, and I get it, of a person that's running for office. But the fact that Tim Scott is unmarried, how is that disqualifying? You know, some conservatives believe that you have to be married because they believe in family values, and they emphasize family values and marriage. And so because Tim Scott has yet to marry, they think that he doesn't live up to the so-called family values that Republicans espouse. And so this is holding him back from receiving, you know, financial support for his run. Now, I don't understand that. You know, I don't get that. Donald Trump is married. He's been married 3 or 4 times. And Republicans espouse family values, but yet they would rather have a man who has done some of the things that this man has done, you know, groping women and, you know, and saying all manner of things. And yet they want to say that Tim Scott doesn't espouse family values because, you know, he's not married. Hey, Karina, how you doing? Help me out.
Good morning. You know what?
Come on. This is real.
It's a circus. It's just like I said before, it's just a bunch of hyenas trying to eat each other. Seriously, it's just horrible, horrible. And the thing is, it's very discriminative party. This is what it is. They looking to discriminate. They do not look for bringing you up. God forbid that person already not white. Okay? Now, let's find something else. Because why? What if he's gay? Oh my God.
Yeah, well, that's kind of.
You're
going to
have a president who's black and gay.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
You know, Karina, I kind of think that's why they want to make sure, you know, that who is he with? Hey, you're 57 and you're not married, you know, and somehow that's a big deal. I don't understand that, you know, but clearly to say that conservatives are about family values and that, you know, Tim Scott should be married and that would be more palatable to conservatives, that's a joke to me.
It is, absolutely, but it's just a discriminative party. Look, when even Trump started, right, how many neo-Nazistic and all kind of white supremacists come out and brought up their head up? Why? Because they support it. One way or another, they support it. And that's why they had a parade in 4 different states of a Nazi for him.
Hey, Karina, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. All of you, hang on the line. We'll come to you after the break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.